Amen. Amen. One more time. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Joel. Joel, prophet. Joel, the second chapter. I'll read the 25th and 26th verse. Joel 2:25-26. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Wasn't even supposed to be in the state this morning. And when God gave me this word, I realized why everything worked out the way it did. So I feel like this is a word for the house. It's gotta change your calendar. Y'all don't want to talk to me. To get his word across. Joel 2:25-26. I'm reading from the NIV translation. And I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts and the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. I want to talk from this thought, the years you thought were wasted. The years. Look at your neighbor and say, the years you thought were wasted. The years you thought were wasted. The years you thought were wasted. The years you thought were. Say it one more time. The years you thought were wasted. The years you thought were wasted. Scripture quoting is easy. It's really a memory game. They've done studies now with children that we teach them the ABC song, but many of them struggle with their ABCs because they did not learn the ABCs. They memorized the song. So when you make them say it without the song attached to it, many of them don't know what comes after the other thing because they've only memorized the song, which is the problem that I believe that most of us as Christians have had to deal with, because scripture quoting is easy. But it's that knowing the God of the scripture that becomes a hard task. Life with and without God has not always been about gaining. It's problematic because some of us like to shout about everything going to be all right. Everything is all right. It's all going to work out. But the truth of the matter is we only shout about that in reality when we get on the other side of whatever it is we're dealing with. It's easy to shout with a paycheck, but do you shout on unemployment? It's easy to shout. Y'all don't want to talk to me. It's easy to shout when they tell you and you ringing the bell that there is no more cancer. But do you shout in the office when they say they found something. On, have you ever thought about how hard it is to go through life? Yes, some of us, victories have we gained across the, but this series, the big comeback, has to make sure I understand that along the way I've taken some loss. Can we really be honest and say we've all lost some stuff? Some opportunities, some relationships, some trust. Come here real quick. Some of us have lost the focus we had, the faith we've had. Even some of us have lost time. Meaning that there's some things that's been going on in your life that you can look back and say, you know what, I don't even remember what happened that whole year. It's not that I gained something, not that I lost something. I just don't even know. What was I doing? You celebrated anniversaries but can't remember. The more I preach, I get a better understanding that Romans 8:28 is not the childish scripture that they taught me that it was. It's a reflective scripture of the bringing together of all of life's experiences versus the immature Christian shouting about all things working together. It really is the somber understanding of a mature believer to say, I don't understand it, but I know he's still working. Takes an immature Christian to quote, and we know all things work together for the good of them who love God and of them who are called according to his. Yes, that's a good shout on the other side. But it takes a mature one to sit in the middle and say, you know what? God, take this and work it out. Immaturity gets quiet in a storm. But maturity says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Will you thank him when it's testing time? Have you ever started to thank God when the people around you thought you should have cursed him? Come here, Job. Because they thought you were thanking him for the stuff. And they didn't understand. You got to know him that gave you the stuff. It is amazing to me because we have went through some things in our lives and all of us have had to step back and say, God, where are you? Can you hear me? Do you care? Come here, David. They have come upon me to eat up my flesh. Even the heathen says there is no God. Come here real quick. See, y'all don't want to talk to me because I didn't come to talk to the church people. I told y'all I ain't supposed to be here today. But I came to tell two or three of us. It's in the moments of the stillness of the night that God gives clarity to why you had to go through what you went through. Have you ever lost so much? You felt that God himself discarded you. But what do you do when it seems like what you lost can't even be recovered? Y'all, can I give you this one for free? He didn't say the enemy came in. No, he didn't. Didn't say, I removed my hand. Have you ever had to shout about God giving you back the same stuff he took? Put it on the screen for me. 25 says it like this, and I will repay. Huh? Put it on the screen for me. I want to make sure everybody see. I will repay for you the years the locusts have eaten. The great locusts and the young locusts. The other locusts and the locust swarm. Watch this. What's the end of it? My great army that I sent to you. What prayer do you pray when you can't bind the enemy because it's the Lord's army he sent against you? It's not an attack of the enemy. It's not a result of sin. This here is from God. What do you do when the locusts that came in your room said, the Lord sent me, and I'm taking everything out of here? And then at the end of the story, he says, I will restore what I took. I that took it gonna be the same one to give it back. Three things. I'm gonna get out of y'all way. I told y'all I ain't supposed to be here. The first one is the cost of what was consumed. Tired of super saved folks acting like they never lost nothing. Cost of what was consumed. Joel doesn't just talk about a bad day. Don't talk about a bad shift. Joel talks about some bad years. Have you ever lost so much? Stops being about the stuff you lost. Starts being about the time that it took you to lose it. Have you ever been in a season of sustained loss? I'm talking about stuff not working so much, you scared to start over again? Come here, Fannie Lou Hamer. Have you ever been sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have you ever lost so much that it was abnormal for the amount of loss you took? I mean, the devil ain't even this good. Jesus. Have you ever lost so much that your cries and your faintest cries and your earnest cries never got a response from God? Have you ever prayed and it seemed like the stuff you was praying to move got stronger? You praying about them send out the work of the enemy and they're comfortable? Have you ever had somebody disrupt your sleep? You up praying and they snoring. The cost. They're living rent free in your mind. And it seems like they don't even care anything about what you got. Have you ever understood that you have you ever been in a season of loss so much that it started changing who you actually are? Stuff irritates you that normally wouldn't even bother you. come here real quick. I ain't got nothing. I just want to talk to two or three people that then went off on somebody because they was breathing hard. Why are you breathing so loud? Are you? Your pet peeves is just changing. Have you ever stopped and been in the middle of a situation that you lost so much you didn't even know what he took until you took an assessment? And the assessment started shifting you because you didn't even know they had took. You started I know I had a positive prayer life. Now all of my prayer is about this. I know I like going to church, but I don't even like church no more because you there too. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Have you ever had to understand the cost of what was consumed? Can I explain? Well, let me first of all, I've explained the cost of the stuff that we took. But can I talk about the weapon that God uses to take stuff from you? This locust is a really weird animal. Because it's equipped with wings, but can't fly. They are individuals. They stand on their own, but they travel in packs. And the problem is that locusts can have wings, but they cannot fly. They don't travel by themselves. So what locusts are known to do is they were to get up on a branch, like on a tree, and they would wait till the wind start blowing and hear the leaves moving, and they would fan out their wings and let God carry them to where they were going. And everything they came in contact with got destroyed. Have you ever had somebody that didn't even have their own transportation disrupt your peace? Winds start blowing. And it would be, even though they are not very large animals, they travel in such big herds that they were known to have darkened skies over cities. That in history, they would quote the phrase, the locusts are coming, the locusts are coming, the locusts are coming. So they would really, but then not only that, y'all ready for this? Not only can locusts not fly, not only do locusts come in groups, this is why I shout. Because this ain't the first time God has recorded using locusts. Mm-mm. Because they celebrate every year. The children of Israel celebrates the Passover. So in the Passover, as part of that whole experience that they celebrate about coming out of Egypt, the crossing over on dry land, part of the plagues that were sent upon Egypt, one of the plagues was the locusts. So you can't say he won't use them. See, because that's why you can't get too arrogant and too proud and too chest puffed up about what God is doing in judgment for somebody else. Because what he used against them, he could use against you. The cost of what was consumed. God, watch this. God doesn't restore what you didn't lose. He He restores everything that was consumed, though. Don't talk to me. Okay. In this season of loss, it's not going to be private. This here has to be public. So where every unbeliever questions your dedication during your season of loss, when your season of recovery comes, they'll have to understand, you thought I lost it for good. You don't know I've been the restorer. Come here, David. He restores my soul. He is a restorer. Oh, y'all don't. I wish I had my first Sunday crowd with me. That would stop for a minute and thank him for being a God that didn't have to acquire the skill of restoration. That he's been a restorer. I've seen him do it before. So if he did it before, he can do it. Okay, that didn't excite you. I got you. Number two, that is the commitment of a covenant-keeping God. Right here in the text, y'all ready? All right. He says, I will repay. Not just a wish, not a suggestion. It's a promise. God says, I will. Not your network, not your job, not men shall give unto your bosom, not it's coming in the mail. I will. Well, I knew that wasn't going to get you because you didn't understand that the promise is not the power. It's the promise maker. Because when God commits, he signs it with his character. Because see, some people don't want to look crazy because they're too busy trying to look important. And being important can make you miss the covenant-keeping power. I'm not shouting because of who I am. I'm shouting because I know who he is. Okay. Well, who is he? He is the Alpha and the Omega. Y'all know I get excited talking about him. He's the one who was and is to come, that one that never changes but always be a part of every change in your life. He is the great Redeemer. He is the battle axe. He is the one. He is the way out of no way. He is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Do y'all know him? He is the one that can make a way out of no way. He is old grandma will say he's a doctor in a sick room, a lawyer in a courtroom. He is the one that'll give your name favor in a room that you ain't even been in and still allow you to get favor in that room any kind of way. He is the one that before Tic Mac Toc started being together, he stepped out on nothing and made everything. He is the one that gave words power before words even knew what that was. And he said, let there be, and nothing bumped into itself and started becoming, because he said it. He is the one. Yeah, that one. He is the one that he looked around and said, there is no other beside me. There is. He is the one. He is the one that gave you 66 books. But only time he describes himself, he says, I am a jealous God, because you can't put nobody beside me. He is the only one that could make man from the dust of the earth. He is. That moved on the waters and the deep. He is. He is the one that when he put his son up on the cross and they lifted him up, and two suns couldn't shine at the same time, so the bright one that had been shining before put his head down and the other one put his head in his shoulder. He is the one. I'm not excited about what is coming. I'm excited because I understand who said it. See, the problem with the redeemed is you think your recovery is based on your resume. No, baby, your recovery is based on his reputation. Say it again. My recovery is not based on my resume. Not by me. Not because I got it together. Not because I've been perfect. Why is he going to do it? Because his reputation is on the line. And he said he was going to repay me for everything that he took. This kind of comeback can only be orchestrated by God. Yeah, this has to be a God thing. The only role you play in your comeback is hearing him say, I'm going to do it. Mm-mm, don't have it together. It's all right. Your stuff is not where it used to be. It's all right. God's going to repay it. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you back just the stuff. I'm going to give you back even your time. Time you thought you wasted, I'm going to give it back. Time you don't even understand why you was in that thing, the way you were still in that thing. God says, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give back everything you thought you lost. I'm going to give it back. And I'm not waiting until I get it back. Because I know who said. Has God ever spoke a word to you while you've been in it and left you in it and you knew you were going to come out of it just because he said, I'm coming to get you? I was a youth pastor, Fifth Ward. I was a youth pastor, Fifth Ward. It taught me how to wait on God being a youth pastor in Fifth Ward. Yes, it did. Because when we had events, at the end of the events, we learned that kids waited two different ways. There were the kids that were calling their parents every 2 minutes, making sure they up. Are you on the way? Are you still on the way? It was some kids. The event wasn't even over yet. Can I use your phone, Pastor Petaway? I need to call my mama and make sure she on her way. But then there was a different group of kids. Didn't need a phone. Had their phone in their pocket. Wasn't bothering nobody. They was just sitting there. You say, well, they called their mama. Hey, did you call your mama? No. You need to call your mama. She said she gonna be here. She on her way. I don't know why you wait on God the way you wait on God, but when you know that he'll come get you when you in the middle of whatever you in, ain't no need in calling her again. He's on the way. The cost of what was consumed. The commitment of the covenant keeping God. Third thing is the comeback of a lifetime. Verse 26. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God. The comeback of a lifetime. Restoration should always lead to rejoicing. See, God is about to turn your lack into overflow. And if he turns your lack into overflow, you should have a position of praise. Come here, Job. See, you have to have this scale of life. Because if you don't, and you don't put it on the scale, you'll fool around and have it on the wrong side. Naked I came. Naked I'm leaving. The Lord gave. The Lord takes away. Sound like a good spot to say, blessed be the name. Or the Lord. From lack to overflow. From tears to testimony, from famine to fulfillment, from tears to testimony, from troubles to testimony, from trials and tribulations to testimonies. And you're trying to figure out, if I got some on both sides, Pastor, don't that make it equal? Mm-mm. It's because I had to go through that to get this. God wouldn't have had nothing to take away if he didn't give me. Oh, y'all don't talk to me. This isn't about what God took away. It's about him back giving back more than you had in the first place. Because before this issue, there wasn't a promise that he would do overflow. You were just day to day before. But when God says, I'm going to give it back to you, he didn't say, I'm just going to give you back what you lost. He says that this time you're going to be full. I didn't make it up. It's right here in the text. You will eat until you are full. There is no text before this say they were full. There's no promise before. Okay. All right. I'm done. I prayed about how to explain the big comeback. I was going to be here. God, what can I tell the people? Because some of them need to understand the big comeback. Because some of us have lost years that we prayed about wanting back. And they need to know how to act when they get it. How this principle works of coming back works. And what God showed me was a toy I had when I was a little kid. Wasn't a toy played with in the room. It's a toy you play with in the tub. It was a yellow duck. You could squeeze, put the little duck underwater, squeeze it, fill it up with water. You could shoot water across the tub. You could. Y'all had rubber ducky at y'all house? Okay. Well, I asked God, what did rubber ducky have to do with my bounce back? God said, well, it wasn't when you used it for what you used it for. It was when you realized that he was never designed to be put underwater in the first place. You would take it and put the rubber ducky underwater. And the further you pushed it down, the more he popped back. Come here real quick. Because you're trying to figure out why God didn't let you stay down as long as you did. Because he said you got a little rubber ducky in you. You was never meant and designed to be underwater, baby. It was in your push down that your bounce back came. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You trying to figure out why you still here and why the devil had taken you under. It's because God put some on the inside of you that says it's time for you to bounce back. That is some bounce back in you. That my story don't end with me under, because some in me kicks in. And soon as you move your hand off me, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm breaking through anything that you put in me. I'm gonna break through anything that pushed me down. Whatever it is that I'm in, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I don't care what pushed me down, but soon as you let me up, I'm coming back. But when I come back, I'm gonna have my hands up. When I come back, I'm gonna have my mouth open. When I come back, I'm gonna be thanking him for everything. You thought you won because you pushed me under, baby. But my bounce back is stronger than you. Yeah, I got some. Yeah. You don't know how far I've been pushed down. You don't know what's been in me. You don't know how much they pull me back, how much they try to scandalize my name. It's all right because my bounce back is coming. My bounce back has come. Y'all didn't like rubber ducky. Y'all didn't like rubber ducky. Had another toy when I was a kid. It's a slingshot. Mm-hmm. You get a rock and a slingshot, and you would pull it back, and you would let it go. The problem was that you didn't understand that the more power you needed to have in what you were trying to fling, you had to pull it back further. Because I need two or three people that's been held back. You've been pulled back. People have tried to hold you back. And they are trying to figure out, how did you get as far as you have? Baby, it was because the farther you pulled me was the farther I was going to fly. It was the farther you talked about me. It's all right, just keep on pulling me. But you better not let me go. Because the moment you let me go, I'm going to tear up something. Talk about me, lie on me, devil. You can do what you want. It's all right, because on the other side of this, your greater is coming on the other side of this. I need somebody with me. I know we in church, but just look at your neighbor and say, I'll tear some up in it. Pull me back far enough. Talk about me. It's all right, because my comeback is going to be. I need two or three people. I'll make number four all by ourselves that'll just say, God, this season of restoration, give me back the years that the locusts. Give me back the seasons, the days, the hours that I thought I lost. God, give it all back to me. Give it back to me. Make my enemies a liar. God, give it back to me. Look at your neighbor and say, they wasn't wasted. They wasn't wasted. They were not wasted. They were not wasted. They were not wasted. They were not. I don't care what they said. They were not wasted. I don't care what you think about me. They were not wasted. I don't care what you heard about me. They were not wasted. I know you thought there was a wasted experience, but it was not wasted. I got some more story to tell you. It wasn't wasted. It wasn't. Talk about me, it's fine, it still wasn't wasted. It lie on me, it's cool, it still wasn't wasted. I don't care what you're dealing with, tell your neighbor, it wasn't wasted. It wasn't wasted. I'm coming back. I'm coming back stronger. I'm coming back more powerful. I'm coming back. Okay. Last example, I promise y'all I'm really done. Y'all didn't like the rubber ducky. Y'all didn't like the slingshot. I need two or three TV watchers that your TV show play this 10, 8, 16, 24 episodes. And at the end of the last episode for that season, they would start promoting it, saying the season finale. And then when the season finale starts, plays, when it gets off, they leave you with a cliffhanger. Because season finale. Then you sit there for the next week and have to remind yourself, oh, it don't come back out because the season is over. You sit there, it came out every Thursday. It ain't coming on no more. Because that season is over. The shout is not in the season. Because all seasons got to end. And I shout because they advertised it as the season finale. And not the series finale. Because if it's the season finale, he's coming back. But if it's the series finale, it's the final. Don't let nobody confuse your series finale as your season finale. I don't care how bad it got in my last season, baby. Stay tuned next season. I'll be right where you left me. I don't care. Don't look for me next Thursday. I might not be here next Thursday, But come next season, I'm coming back.
Watch how you advertise me.
Because my seasons wasn't lost. Okay. Stick with me. I promise y'all I'm really done. God just keep giving me more and more on this one revelation. God, you with me, Bishop. You with me. Because some shows do a season finale and they get fired in the off season. Because something happened behind the scenes. And then some people say, but I don't know what was going to happen because the season turned into a series finale. I wonder what happened with. And then you keep watching the news and they say, this show that was on this network got picked up by another network. And they gonna be back on next season. Come here, because God just gave this to me. This ain't even in my notes. Because some people gonna try to end you before your time. But they gonna make room for somebody else that wasn't even looking for you. Because where they didn't see any value in you and cut you off, God says, I done been preparing somebody else for you. They gonna treat you better, put you in prime time. They tried to put you at late night, but God says, I got a prime position for you. Because this season is going to be different for you in this season. This season, they're going to care for you like they couldn't care for you over there. God says, in this season, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor that God's going to pick me up somewhere else. And God's going to, they dropped me, but God's going to pick me up somewhere else.
Yeah,
I'm coming back. Prime time. They dropped me, but I'm coming back. This last one, I promise y'all, I'm really done. Really done. Really done. I'm really done. I promise y'all I'm done. I'm done. I'm take this, because I'm done. I'm done. The last one. Y'all ready for the last one? It's when you're watching your show and the main people are tired of doing the show. And so the show ends because the main people tired of doing the show. So the show get canceled. And after the series finale, the people that was tired of doing the show got what they wanted. You didn't get asked because you wasn't a star of the show. But while y'all taping, you get a message. Everybody else going home. But they call you in the back room and say, I got a spinoff with your name on it. I know this wasn't your show. But I got one for you. This one gonna have your name on it. You was the co-star the last time. You was a supporting actor and actress. But this season, it's gonna be your name in the lights. So next season, it ain't gonna be a continuation. That season is over. You won't go back to co-starring no more. This season, you're going to have your name on the show. Is there anybody beside me that's ready for your time to shine? That you're ready for God to do it for you, to put your name on? You've been everybody else's assistant. Now it's time for your time in the light. God's going to give you a spinoff. Be so good they forget where you came from. be so memorable. Okay, I'm really done. I'm in the same one, I promise y'all I am. One of my favorite shows in the world, y'all don't judge me, was The Good Wife. I like The Good Wife. It's an old show. Don't judge me. Talk to somebody else about it. Now one of my favorite shows is Elsbeth. Y'all don't have to talk to me. Just my thing. But what most people don't know is Elsbeth was a random reoccurrer in The Good Wife. And it's some people that's finding out the show Elsbeth that never watched The Good Wife. Because in this season, there's some people won't even know how you got here. They won't know who made you, who came up with you, who helped develop you. The first time they meet you, you're going to be carrying your own thing. And you wasn't even a regular reoccurrer in your last one. You wasn't even important enough sometimes to have your name in the credits. But now every time your show pop up, it got your name. And the people that helped make you don't even show up no more. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Because they show got canceled. But now it's your time to get your spinoff. And you got seasons over here when you had appearances back then. Okay, y'all don't want to talk to me. Anybody else besides me excited that I got seasons in this season? I got multiple reoccurring that the camera don't turn on till I get there in this season. My last season, they forgot about me. You might even forgot where I came from. That's all right, because in this season, I got my own thing. I got my own thing. Last time, I know I said that two times, but this is my last one for real. Look at your neighbor and say, I got my own. In this season, my comeback is real. I'm ready for my name in the lights. I had to get some of me together when I was over there, but now in this season, I'm ready. My work ethic has changed. In this season, God, I love you. God, I appreciate you. God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this change, this word that you've given us today, God, that it has shifted our hearts. Somebody in this room thought they lost those years. They wasted those years. God, those are developmental years. Even in adulthood, still developing. You can't just restore the stuff. You said you was going to give us back the time. Every year, every season, we thought we wasted. God, thank you right now for restoration. Thank you for God. Show yourself here in this place today like only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.